Well, like I say, it's good to be in God's house tonight. It's been a long time since I've stood behind one of these sacred podiums, and since I had my accident at work, and that was back on December the 14th of last year, and I've not got to preach since then in a church. I went over Thursday night to one of my preacher buddies' houses and done an online sermon, and it just seems so good to just to stand and preach no matter where you're at. Because it's all about Jesus, amen? That's who it's about. It ain't about me, and never has been, never will be. But I'm glad it's about Him that sits on the right hand of the throne today. And one of these days, God's going to say, "Son, go get my children." That's us. We're going home to be with Him. And I appreciate the Lord. And I just want to share one verse, and this ain't nothing to do with what I'm going to preach on tonight. But I got to thinking about how the Lord was watching over me when this accident happened. And if you ain't never been hit with a forklift, you don't know what it's like. It ain't no fun, believe me. And they're a big old machine, and they weigh a lot, and it probably knocked me about as far from here to the piano keys over there. And luckily, all I got out of it was two fractured pelvis bones. It could have been a lot worse. If that thing would have hit me in the head, it'd probably kill me, and I'd be home with the Lord right now, but that'd be all right because I'm ready to go. Amen? But it's not His will yet. He's still got something for me to do still down here. But I just thank the Lord for all He does. And listen to this verse. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 25. "For great is the Lord." Right there, I can stop and say, I'm done preaching. And that'd be enough right there. For great is the Lord, listen to this, "and greatly to be praised, be also is to be feared above all gods." Now I got to think about this, and He's to be praised. You know, if there's anything that we ought to praise, it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen? Because He's worthy. I thought about when we're praising the Lord and we're worshiping Him, and thinking about, you know, how we can worship Him. There's so many ways, in song, in preaching, in teaching. And as Brother Daniel said this morning, no matter who you are, you've got a talent. And it may not be, but just coming and being faithful to the house of God and sitting on the pews. That the Lord will honor that. Amen? But I got to thinking about when we all get excited about stuff, like going to a football game or something, or, you know, you youngin' or your boy might score a touchdown and you'll just stow your hand, yeah, you know, and just shout and thank God for it. But, you know, I thought about something. I shared this morning. I come to church this morning and there wasn't nobody in my Sunday school class. And Sister Sarah asked me if I'd teach for Joy. He wasn't here this morning. And I said, "Lord, I'd be tickled to death." And I went in there and taught. And, you know, I got to thinking about how God has really been good to us. I know we're going through this COVID stuff, and you know, there's a reason for everything. When this is all said and done, I bet you anything, as sure as I'm standing up here, God's going to get all the glory and all the honor that He deserves. Amen?
Yes.
I've seen Him do so many miracles, and you're looking at one standing right here. I mean, it's a miracle I didn't get killed in 1981, and I'd be in hell tonight. I mean, I wrecked a car and it looked like a hearty hamburger. And how I come out of it, there ain't but one answer, and that's God above.
Amen.
And I thank Him for that tonight, more than you'll ever know. But, you know, we're just so blessed. And we have got, I got to thinking about our hands this morning in Sunday school. Just think, our hands is one of the most important parts of our body. I mean, we couldn't eat if we didn't have hands. I mean, we couldn't drive a car. There's so much stuff we couldn't do if we didn't have our hands. But what I told them in Sunday school this morning, why can't we use them hands to lift and praise the Lord once in a while? I mean, say, "Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." I mean, that's what it's all about. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we might as well get started down here because we get to heaven. That's all it's going to be. It's going to be praising around the throne and holy, 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 and worshiping the Lord continuously. I mean, all day long, because the Bible says there is no night there. And He's the light of the city, and we're going to be praising Him. And I just thought I wanted to share that for you. So if you just want to shout, run the aisles, I mean, jump pew, if you, whatever the Lord tells you to do, you go right ahead. That's all right with me. But I just thank him for the opportunity to come tonight and to be able to preach. And I've got this message together, and the devil, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. And he'll get, listen, folks, he'll get on you like butter on bread, and he'll spread it if you'll let him. I sat in the house studying this message. God gave it to me, and he said, "Oh, you better not preach that. They'll laugh at you. They'll make fun of you. They don't want to hear something like that." And you know, us as preachers, it's our desire to see the lost be saved. That's the reason we preach the gospel. And I was sitting there, and he said, "Get you something else ready. That ain't good enough." And I looked up, and I said, "Devil, I'm going to preach on the blood tonight." And after I said that, I believe he left me alone. Because he don't like the blood. He hates the blood. He don't like that. But the Lord's given me a real message here that's kind of odd. And I preached on this just a little bit once before. It was at a watch night service at Wyndham over at Brother Randall's church. And I didn't get but 10 minutes, and I didn't really get into it real good. So the Lord being my helper, I want to preach on it tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. If you're able and willing, I'll ask you to stand to the reading and the reference of God's Word when you find your place. I want to start reading in verse number 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there, he which go in thereat. Because straight in the gate, and there is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I thank you for your reading your word. I pray, Lord, you'd touch it, and Lord, you'd honor it tonight. Lord, just touch my body, physically and spiritually, Lord, and it's so good to be behind this pulpit and preaching for you, Lord, that I might say something that will build your name up, Lord, because your name's Jesus, and Lord, that's the most important name in this whole wide world, the only one that really matters, and I pray you'd touch me and help me as I try to preach, Lord, and it's been a while, but Lord, I'm just thankful to be here tonight and thankful things as well as in my life. I pray, Lord, you continue to touch our pastor. Lord, I know he's had a rough time, and he's still going through a rough time. But, Lord, I'm glad you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and I'm thankful for that. No matter what we go through, you're right there with us, Lord, and I'm so thankful that I can call you my father and you can call me your son, and I'm grateful for that tonight. Now, Lord, help me to preach, to say something that might be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach on this thought. Don't let this notebook scare you. I know it's got about 10 or 12 pages here, but it's been so long since I preached, I'll let you go about 11:30 tonight. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to preach what God gave me. I want to preach on this thought, and it's something that everybody has got, and just hope this will happen. So you just pray for me as I try to preach. I want to preach on GPS and GAP. Amen. Now, you think of GPS, the first thing you think about is maybe your smartphone. It'll have a GPS system on it and say you're going on a trip and you've never been there. Well, you can punch in the name of the place you're going and the address, and it'll give you directions how to go right to it. Every turn, what road to get on and everything. I mean, that's just the way it works. Then, you know, most of them, they're pretty accurate. But a lot of the times, they're pretty accurate. But sometimes, they'll turn you and get you on the wrong road. They won't put you where you need to be, is what I'm trying to say. But I remember one day at work, we was at work, and they came in there and told us there'd been a wreck on Cox's Creek. And just to show you how these GPS systems does sometimes, they said the mountain's closed. You can't go home that way. Well, I live on Alapice, so I said, well, I'm going to go up Pepper's Creek, gravel road, and it's shorter, really, but I don't like driving my car up that old rough road. But I had to that day because I didn't have no way to get back to the house unless I went all the way around Linville and down 3 miles that way. So I got up through there, and right in the middle of one of them curves past the railroad tracks, I don't see how they made it that far, was a tractor and trailer. On Pepper's Creek, a narrow, wide road, and if he'd have went off one of them banks up there with that truck and he'd have rolled that thing, he'd killed him just short as I'm standing here. And I got out and I said, "Sir," I said, "what are you doing on this gravel road with an 18-wheeler?" He said, "Well, this is the way my GPS told me to come." Amen. But they finally got him a big old wrecker up there, and they got him out of there. But it's just the grace of God that he was watched over, that he didn't roll that truck off there near the railroad tracks, one of them hollers up there. Because, buddy, them banks up there are steep. I mean steep. You go off of one of them, and you've had it. But your GPS is a good thing if you use it right. But you stop and think about it. If it gets you on the wrong road, you kind of get frustrated, don't you? You'll just say, "Well, this ain't where I wanted to be. I can't even find my way through Marion. I couldn't use one of them at all. We was going after I got off work Saturday. Me and my wife went down to eat supper, and we went down to Smoky Cubes, and she wanted to go to Walmart, and it was Brother Darren says it's a saving place. And I went through the tennis courts up there, and Lord, I've been that way 35 times or more, I bet you. Well, you go down there at the bottom of the hill and you make a right, and it takes you out there next to, you know, where you need to go to Walmart. Well, I took a road up from there and turned right. Went up an alley. My wife said, "This ain't where you turn. You turn down there at the next alley." I said, "I'm about crazy." But the GPS is a fine thing. But let me share this with you. I wrote down here, but I want to tell you how to get to heaven. If you've got your phone with you tonight, do me a favor. Get it out. Turn on your GPS on that smartphone and punch in heaven. See if it can tell you how to get there. Amen. See if it can just tell you how to get to heaven. There ain't no way. Now, you might say, "Well, we don't know the address to heaven." Well, let me tell you the address to heaven. It's my home. That's my home one day. This world's not my home. That is. That's the address to heaven. But I wrote down this, you know, there's only one way to get to heaven. And that's through GPS. God's plan, salvation. Amen. That's the only way you're going to get there is through his plan at salvation. Thank God for GPS tonight. I thank him back in October of 1996 in this church that I accepted the Lord as my Savior. I've been here ever since. And the Lord has blessed me, and I honestly say tonight, folks, it's the best thing I ever done. Amen? The best thing I ever done is when I turned my life around and give it to the Lord. Because I was headed for hell. Just like I read in them scriptures, I was on the road to destruction. Amen. And if I hadn't accepted the Lord, that's where I'd probably be today, is in hell. I'd be dead and gone probably. I was doing things I shouldn't. I was out partying. And you know, all my friends, I thought were my friends, let's put it that way, they really wouldn't, because a friend sticketh closer than a brother is what the Bible says. And when I announced my call to preach and I didn't run around with them anymore, they didn't want nothing to do with me because it's fine and dandy. But I sure did tell them about Jesus. I was a witness to them about they need the Lord just like I needed it. And if they don't, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell, just plain and simple. Ain't no use to even try to straddle the fence, or you're either in or you're out. Amen, brother? And I wrote down right here that God's plan of salvation, saved and washed in the blood. That's the only way. And let me say this. If you get the GPS plan, God's plan, salvation, you'll never ever worry about having to take a wrong road. It's a straight and narrow way, just like the scripture I read there in Matthew. It's a straight and narrow road, and it's straight. And you'll never go astray. You know, so many people has gone astray. Even the people that used to come to church, you know, they've got mad about something and quit church or got their feelings hurt or something. But people, we don't have to answer to us. We got to answer to the Lord one day. The best thing you can do if something like that happens, you pray for them people. Ask God to help them. Go up to them, tell them you love them, and tell them you're praying for them. That's the best thing you can do, just to show that you're a Christian. That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says we're supposed to forgive somebody 70 times 7 times a day. That's 490 times a day if somebody does us wrong. Now, what's the odds of that happening? It's very slim. It ain't going to happen. But we need to show that love that the Lord give us and showed us. Now, I got to thinking about this. I wrote down this. When and where did this plan start? And I'll tell you exactly when it started. It was nearly 2,000 years ago when Jesus come down from heaven, left the splendors of glory, had everything he had up there, beautiful place according to God's word, a city filled with gold and everything, and the gates of pearl. But most of all, the most precious and beautiful thing in heaven was the Lord himself. That's what made it up, was the Lord. Just to see his face. Brother Josh, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward. When I sit down and see the Lord's face for the first time. And it's been worth every mile, Brother Adam. I know you just travel a lot and go sing and do things for the Lord. And I know you're probably wore out of evenings and working all day, but it's been worth every mile. And we'll get our rewards when we get to heaven, folks. We'll get a crown of righteousness. And I want our crowns to be filled with them emeralds in it, all the way around it. I don't know how big it'll be, but I know one thing. When I get mine, I'm going to take it and I'm going to bow down at Jesus' feet. So, Lord, this belongs to you. And I'm going to be so good and so happy. I've watched a video, and you should probably seen it, and it's blessed my soul. I've watched it about 30 times on Facebook. Brother David Ring is with the Gaither family. And he's standing there, and he got to talking about he's got property in heaven. Talking about his daddy, been there 32 years with the Lord to heaven, his mama 28 years. And he got to singing that song, "What a Day It'll Be." Now, Brother David, he's got health problems. But I love to hear him preach. I mean, he's won souls to the Lord. Probably, I don't know how many, a lot of souls. But he's talking about when he gets to heaven, Brother Adam, because of God's plan, salvation, he won't have to have a limp in his walk. He'll be able to button his own shirt. He'll be able to talk plain and not speak like he speaks. But he said this, and right here's the part that really blessed me, and me and him's got a lot in common, and you too. This applies to everybody. He said, God is still cooking on me. Said, he's got me in the oven. Amen. And said, one day he's going to come and he's going to pull me out, and he's going to say, "Well done, amen, my faithful servant." And I look forward to that when the Lord pulls me out of the oven. And that oven was hell. Amen. He pulled me out of that. I don't have to go there today. I say, thank you, Lord, for everything you've ever done for me. I thank him for my family, my wife. It's good to have her here tonight. And I just praise his name and tell him I love him. And let's go on right here. And it says, when did it start? Well, it started in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right there is where it started. When Jesus sent his Son, and he said, I'll go, Father. And I can't understand why he left the splendors of glory and come down here to pay a debt for us. Now you think about, I thought about all the people that's got COVID and all the things they're going through right now. Our pastor, Stacy, Daniel's wife, continue to pray for her. But the Lord has already done a miracle in her life. Pulled her off the ventilator. She's in bad shape. And I believe he'll get her to where she needs to be, same way with our pastor. He's a great physician. There's no other doctor in this whole world that could do what Jesus can do. And I just thank the Lord for that tonight. But think about that. There ain't but one reason that Jesus left the splendor of glory and come down here to die for us, and that's called love. I was sitting there this morning. I'll share this with you. And I didn't know it till my wife told me, but I seen a video on Facebook this morning. Today makes 2 years Brother Luther Carver's been with the Lord. And they come on there, and Tommy was playing the piano this morning, and Luther and Phyllis was singing, "Oh, what love. Oh, what love that a Savior would come from glory. Come down here. Die for a hog gut sinner like me." I say praise his name. We serve a great God, amen. And I got to thinking about that, and I like that part in that song where it says, "When in sin I did wander, I didn't stop nor ponder, but oh, he came searching for me. And there's where he found me." Thank God he came searching for me one day. I wasn't looking for him, but he came looking for me, and he found me. And I thank God that he did. And I'm going to heaven one day to be with him forever and ever. Next thing I want to talk about here, God being my helper, is this right here. When we accept this plan of GPS, who can partake of this plan? Who can take God's salvation, the plan of salvation? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, Brother Daniel read it this morning, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means anybody, regardless of what color of skin you got, or who you are, or what you've done, I don't care what you've done. Even Moses was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian. Look how the Lord used him. I mean, it don't matter. Once you ask the Lord to come into your heart and your life, and you are saved, you're saved and sealed to the day of redemption. Hey, somebody tells you you can lose your salvation, no way. I believe you can backslide on God, and you can get out here and do things that's wrong, but I'm going to say this, if you're truly saved and born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, you'll come back, because you got a thing called a conscience. And you can't even live yourself if things are wrong between you and God. I've had to bow my head, and I'll get mad at work, and I won't say nothing, but I just get mad and aggravated because people won't work, and they want you to do their job, and amen. But I just say, "Lord, forgive me. Help me to get through the rest of the day, and glory to God, and go on." That's the best thing to do. And I wrote down here that, let me tell you this. This GPS, the one you got in your pockets, probably, your cell phones or GPS, you had to buy them, pay money for them, amen? Well, God's GPS, it's free. Anyone that'll come and partake of it, it's free. The gift of God is free, eternal life. And I thought about this. Eventually, them cell phones, they'll go bad and you'll have to replace it. Go back and buy another one, amen? But let me say this, God's plan, it's there forever. His plan of salvation is forever. It's paid in full. He only had to die one time, and that's the only time he'll have to die. And he didn't die then. They put him in a tomb, and on the third day he arose and got up. Folks, Jesus is alive today and well. He's sitting with his Father in heaven. And he's having a time up there. And I got to thinking about Brother Luther and Robin and all of them that's gone on from this church. Damien, Mr. and Mrs. Goldfort, just to mention a few. Boy, I can only imagine what a time they're having up there. Amen. And I get to go one day. I'll join in that family reunion. That's what we're going to be up there. We're going to be family. We're family down here. We're all saved. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, every one of us. But you'll have to buy another eventually, but you won't never have to buy it again. And I wrote down this. This GPS, you don't have to buy it. Well, I done said that, but the good thing about it, when Jesus saves you, and he truly saves you, he comes inside of here. He lives inside of your body, inside of your flesh. And we need to realize that we're living in a world that's full of corruption. It's full of troubles. It's full of trials. I mean, you stop and think about it. This world, I believe this world ain't going to get no better. I think it'll get worse until the Lord comes and gets us. That's the only time I believe it'll get better is when we see the trumpet sound out loud and the Lord steps out on the clouds. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When he steps out on the clouds, the steps of a good man, they wouldn't but one, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And he comes to get us and take us home to be with him. What a blessing. And so I want to ask you a question tonight, church. Which GPS would you rather have? Would you rather have the one that takes you to the world and the worldly places here that we live? Or would you rather have the GPS that leads to heaven to be of the Lord forever? There's so many people in this world that needs to be saved. I'll be honest, I don't see how people make it without God. I don't. If I didn't have him, I'd be a mess. And I don't see why people won't get saved. It's because of the devil. He's got them deceived, and he's like a roaring lion out there deceiving who he can get. That's his job. But it's our job to be ambassadors and witnesses to get out here and testify for the Lord. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to brag on Jesus. I don't care. I was on vacation one year at Pigeon Forge, me and my wife, and we were sitting there on the balcony, and this couple would come out just sitting beside of us in the next room over, and we got to talking to them. And they were from Indiana. And I said, yeah, I told him where I was from. I had a gospel T-shirt on. I wear them all the time when I'm out on vacation. I like to advertise for Jesus. Amen. I just bought a Subaru. First one I've ever owned. The Lord allowed me to get it. Everything I got belongs to him. And I got me a big old sticker on the back of it. If you want to go look at it at our church, that's fine. But I put on there, and this is what the Lord laid on my heart. And I drive around with it everywhere, and I hope everybody sees it. It's got a picture of Calvary, Jesus and the two thieves on the crosses. And I wrote in letters on the top, I put Jesus on the cross. And down on the bottom, put my life back on track. Amen. And I hope everybody sees that. And if they're not saved, I hope it'll help them to realize they need to get saved. But it's good to advertise for Jesus. But anyway, we got talking to that couple. And they said they were from Indiana. And he said, yeah, we went out and eat and had a few drinks. And I got to talking to him about the Lord. I said, yeah, I used to do that before I got saved and the Lord convicted me. I said, now I'm a preaching. And a matter of fact, tomorrow will be my anniversary. May the 3rd, it'll be 6 years tomorrow that I've been preaching. Where it's when, I don't know. Time comes and flies. And life's like a vapor is what the Bible says. It comes and it goes. But I told them people there about Jesus. And my wife said, you better shut up. You're going to get us killed. I said, I'm ready to go. That's what it is, and so be it. But don't be ashamed of the Lord. Tell him what I will. Tell people what he's done for you. I mean, he's done more for you just saving your soul than if anybody. If they walked up and give you $1 million cash, that ain't nothing compared to being saved. Because you ain't taking nothing with you when you leave here. That's just common sense, but your soul. But I wrote this down. I wrote down, God's plan of salvation is the best. You'll never go wrong. Amen. Right. You'll never get lost. Right. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thanks to God's amazing grace. Right. Amen. And ain't nothing like it. And that's the best song that's ever written. Now I want to talk for just a few minutes about GAP. Now you say that word and you say gap. Well, when I think of gap, that means it's a distance between something. Amen. It's not close. And church, let me ask you a question tonight. How close are you to God? Think about it. How close are you? Or you got a big gap between you? Amen? I mean, just think about that. When's the last time I overwent the 10 lepers over in the book of Luke? They were 10 of them lepers that the Lord healed. Leprosy was a bad disease back then. Skin falling off, they couldn't even be around their families. They had to holler unclean, anybody come near them. And that one leper out of 10 came back to thank the Lord. And he just didn't come up and to walk up to the Lord and say, thank you. He got on his face is what the Bible says. And he thanked the Lord for saving his soul. And I don't know about them other nine, but I kind of wonder if it's Baptist maybe. Amen? I mean, you stop and think about it. People want everything, and then when they get it, they don't take time enough to stop and thank the man that really, the one that gave it to them. The Lord, everything we got belongs to the Lord. Everything. He's the one who gives us everything. But another definition of gap, and this happened to me one time, is like if you go and you get your hair cut, and it ain't right to please you, and you gap your hair. Ask my wife about that because I let her cut mine one time. It looked bad. But, you know, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. It also stands for this, and thank God for it tonight. God answers prayer. Right. Amen. Amen. That's what I think GAP stands for. That's the first thing I think of when I see these letters. God answers prayers. Now, let me say this. Until you get this GPS and he comes into your heart and your life, if you're not saved, you can pray a million prayers and he ain't going to hear not one of them. You have to accept this GPS first and foremost and let the Lord come inside of your heart and live with you and save your soul. And then you can pray and he'll listen to every word. And I believe the Lord will answer prayers. I don't think he'll let them go void in vain. Because if you truly get on your face and pray to God and really mean it, get close to him. I like to go up here to this cross back here in the woods. When I get something bothering me, I'll drive up there and I'll walk out there and I'll get down to that cross. And it's back there in what I call God's coloring book. All the trees and the leaves around it. Boy, it's beautiful up there, especially in the fall and summer. And just spend time with God. How many of you have seen the movie The War Room? That's a good movie, wasn't it? That little old colored lady had a prayer room and she went in and prayed and asked God to help her and prayed for everybody. And that's what we need. We need us a prayer room. Everybody needs a place that they can go be along with God and just ask him to touch us and help us and answer prayer. And there ain't nothing no sweeter than when you feel the Holy Ghost come inside of you. And he says, son, I hear you. I hear your prayers. I'll take care of it. When we got problems that we don't know what we're going to do with, we just say, Lord, here it is. It's yours. You take care of it. I can't handle it. I ain't got the power to take care of this problem, but just give it to him. And I wrote this down. Prayer is the key. It opens every door. You take these doors here, there's one separate key that only opens that door. Tony went and took my keys to my car and stuck it in there. It ain't going to fit. But prayer is the key to every door. I'm glad that we can pray in a country called good old America. And let me say I'm proud to be an American. I thank God for the American flag. I thank him for the opportunity to stand and pledge it. And that Christian flag, Lord, Lord, what does that mean to you? No sweeter flag in the world than a Christian flag. I'm glad I can pledge it too and be proud of it. And I wrote down this, that if we'll accept GPS into our hearts and our lives, I promise you this, things ain't always going to be a bed of roses. You're going to have to face trials and troubles. And God will answer prayer, GAP. But here's what we got to look at. We've just got to have enough faith to give it to him. Say, Lord, it's yours. Help us. That's the best thing we can do. And I've seen the Lord, let me say this, the Bible talks about all these miracles that he has performed. And this right here is the GPS to heaven. This book. It's got all the instructions in it that'll lead you to a straight and narrow way. It won't put you on that road to destruction if you'll just follow it and read it and study it. And I'll say this, and I hope I don't make nobody mad, because I love you. But we need to spend more time in this GPS than we do on our cell phones. Amen? I mean, them cell phones are handy, and ain't nothing wrong with them. Don't get me wrong. But anything we put before God's an idol. Anything, I don't care what it is. We need to read the Word of God and study it to help us in everyday life. I don't care what kind of problem you're going through. If you belong to the Lord and you've been saved, there's an answer in this book for it. Amen? There's an answer. Somewhere if you'll just look it up. There's scripture for everything. But I'm thankful that one day I'm going to get to go home and be with the Lord and be with him forever and ever and ever. And I'm going to read a little more scripture over here and I'll be done. Just a few more verses. Let me get over here where I need to be. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter number 2, real familiar scripture. And I want you to think for a few minutes, church. What if the Lord hadn't come down here? Think about that. The grave would have been the end of it. There'd be no hope for none of us. We'd all be headed for hell. We wouldn't be here tonight. What, just think about that. And this scripture I want to read starts right here. In verse 4, but God. Amen. But God. Thank God for all his blessings. Thank him for sending his son. There ain't no father in here if you've got a son that would give him to die on a cross for us. No way. Because you love that young'un. And I know the father loved his son too, but he gave him up for him. It says right here, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. He's rich in mercy and love. Folks, if you're saved, you're rich. You are. You may not realize it. Your bank account may not have $400,000 or $500,000, but you're rich. You're rich through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing you could have in your possession. Over in Peter, it talks about an inheritance. Well, somebody has to die to give you an inheritance. And Jesus died for us to give us the best inheritance that ever was. If somebody leaves you a car, that car's going to rust out eventually. It ain't going to last you forever. Somebody may leave you a bunch of money, and that's good and dandy, but eventually you'll spend it on something. So, but to get to go to heaven, what a blessing. I thank the Lord for that. And let's go on now. It says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Thank God for grace. Amen. Thank him for his grace. And I appreciate his grace and his mercy in my life. In verse 6, and have raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank God for his church. I want to tell you that. Thank God for every one of you. I told them in Sunday school down there this morning, from now on, wherever I go, I'm going to tell everybody that I come in contact with, I love you. And I do. Because we don't know who the Lord's going to take out of here next. And I want to let you know tonight, I love you, church. Lord, I love you. And I thank God for each and every one of you. You have been good to me here. I first came here, Brother Adam, I was worried to death. I'll be truthful with you. I said, well, I won't fit in with all them big shots. But I come to find out that, you know, nothing against the preacher because I love him, but, you know, Ken and Trish and all of them's got that store. I first came here, Brother Luther was my pastor. That's who I got saved. But I thank the Lord for him. But you know, I got to thinking, well, Lord, they own that store, and I ain't got nothing. But I come to find out the way my pastor was raised and his grandpa and grandma, they wasn't no two finer people in the country. First time I ever met them, we'd been to Pigeon Forge with Keith and Sheila McClellan. We come back through there, and they took us up to his house. And Brother Floyd said, refrigerator's in the kitchen. Said, if you want something to eat or drinks, food in there, you should make yourself at home. Made me feel like I'd known him for 50 years. But that's the way we ought to be. All of us ought to love one another and be good. And he made a cane about that big around and about this tall that he'd whittle with his pocket knife. He gave it to my wife. I've got that house right now, and I tell you what, $5 million wouldn't touch it. I was just the sentimental things. Amen. But I thank the Lord for my church. I thank God He put me here. He put me here for a reason. He's allowed me to teach Sunday school for years, to be a deacon, serve as a deacon for, I think I was 9 years before the Lord called me to preach. And that right there is a blessing, just to be good to families, to be there for them, to call them and tell them you love them. And, you know, pick up a phone, call somebody once in a while, say, how you doing? Hope things are going well. Praying for you, and I love you. You don't know how much that means to somebody. But I'll close with this right here. Because of the GPS, God's plan, salvation, there's hope today. Don't let this world get you down. There's hope. Because we're all headed for home. That's where my destination is, a place called heaven. And I thank Him for the GPS and for the GAP too, for answering prayers. And He's answered a lot in my situation. What about you? And we think about all our loved ones that's gone on to be the Lord. We miss them, yes, dearly. But folks, let me tell you something. We're going to have a family reunion one day. We'll get to be there together with them forever and ever. They won't have them old crippled bodies they had when they left here. My mama had cancer. I was holding her hand and watched her take her last breath. And I cried my eyes out, Brother Adam. And ain't a day don't go by it. I don't miss my mama. But I know where she's at, Brother David. She's home with the Lord. Having a good time and raising them hands and hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. She's having a time. And there's a feller on... First time I watched this, I cried like a baby. There's a fella on Facebook, and Trish and them may know him or seen him. He's from Nashville, Tennessee. His name's Mike Manuel. He's got a website called MikeManuel.com. He's wrote a bunch of songs about Jesus and mama. And he's got one on there called, If There's a Telephone in Heaven, Put My Mama on the Line. I watched that, and it showed him walking through the graveyard, the cemetery. She's not there. That's just an old body. He's gone back to the earth. And you talk about somebody really crying. Buddy, I did. If we could call up our loved ones and talk to them, Brother Tony, I wonder what they'd tell us if there really was a phone in heaven. I said, boys, I don't know what I'm missing. It's great up here to see Jesus' face. What a sight. You ever see what He feeds us? Manna from above. It's all good. I wish I could have got here years ago. That's probably what they'd have told you. But we've got to run the race down here. It's the Lord's give us. We're not going to go until we've run that race and it's our time. We don't know when. We don't know how. We just know that death will come to all of us unless the rapture comes. We need to be ready. We need to accept this GPS plan. Senator, listen to me. Facebook, if you're out here watching, listen to this old country preacher. If you're not saved, get saved. Because if you don't, you're going to be down that road to destruction. Hell is a real thing. Heaven's for real. I like that movie, Heaven for Real. That little boy at the end, that girl was drawing a picture of him. He looked at his daddy and said, "That's him." Ain't it going to be good when we get to say, "That's him"? Amen. 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 We'll know him. I guarantee it. But God is so good. And I thank him for the privilege to preach tonight. And I appreciate every one of the youngs. I hope I helped you. It's an honor and a privilege to be in God's house to get to stand behind this podium again. I don't take it lightly. It's a sacred thing. Amen. But I appreciate y'all. Anybody got a word on their heart? Anybody? I appreciate you being here. Really do. Thank you for coming. I hope you have a blessed week. Be back Wednesday night. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand. Let's pray and you'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this time. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that what I said might have been a blessing to somebody here tonight, Lord. And I hope it was a blessing to you, Lord, most of all, to uplift your name, because you're the only one's worthy, Lord, to be praised. I pray now, Lord, you touch us, and Lord, and give us a good upcoming week. Be our pastor, touch him, give him a good week. Brother Darren, I love you, and I want to say that publicly with all my heart and soul. And I pray, Lord, to touch you and help you. And I pray, Lord, if we can be of help of any service, Lord, please get a hold of us. Help us, Lord, to help him. And I pray, Lord, for his family. I know the Lord going through a rough time, too, watching him go through COVID, Lord. And, Lord, we don't know why this happened, but, Lord, I know in the end you'll get honor and you'll get glory. And I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I'm glad that I accepted that GPS one day. Lord, it put me on the right track, and I'm so thankful for that. Now, Lord, just go with us. Have your will and way, Lord, and bless each family that's represented here tonight. Lord, take care of them. Help them, Lord, whatever they may need, and you supply their needs, Lord, and I know you will. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. And meet back again with us, Lord, at Wednesday night. In Jesus' name, amen. You're at liberty to go.